Hi, my friends. Before we get started today, I wanted to take a quick moment and remind you that my brand new book, Your Mid-Career GPS, Four Steps to Figuring Out What's Next, is currently available on Amazon. The book was released 10 days ago, and I am beyond honored and grateful that so many people have not only bought the book, but they're reaching out to me to let me know how it is helping them navigate their career transition with the tips and the strategies that are in the book. If you don't have it, make sure to go over to Amazon to get your copy today in either Kindle or paperback. And also, please remember to rate and review the book, as that is extremely helpful in letting people know what it is you like about the book and how it's helping you. Okay, now today I'm having a conversation with Melanie Mitchell Wexler, and we talk everything related to working with a recruiter. Many of you have either questioned or wondered what it might be like to work with a recruiter and how you would actually build that relationship to create that kind of partnership that you could work with them that would ultimately lead to you finding that next job or even landing the dream job that you've wanted. You're going to get a lot of information today, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Melanie Mitchell Wexler. Hi, I'm John Nerrell, and welcome to the Mid-Career GPS Podcast. If you're feeling stuck in your career and overwhelmed by what steps to take, I can help you. As an executive and career transition coach, I help my clients prepare, position, and promote who they are and what they do to show up and find a job they love or love the job they have. It's time to start building your mid-career GPS. So let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Now, one of the questions I have gotten a lot is all about whether or not it is useful or valuable for you to work with a recruiter. Now, you've probably had a few invitations from some of them on LinkedIn to connect, and you might have even gotten bombarded with several messages as well. I want you to know this: recruiters are connectors. They look for valuable talent that can fill a specific gap in a company's talent pool. And if they look at your resume, LinkedIn, or anything else you have online and think you might be a good match, it's likely that they're going to reach out to you. Any recruiter's goal is to bring high-quality talent to the company so that ultimately the company can find that talent to fill that gap in the job posting. Now, I'm excited to bring on my guest today, who brings 18 years of recruiting and staffing experience and is here to share her knowledge and expertise with us. We're going to get an inside look at the recruiting industry and how that may help you in your job search. Melanie Mitchell Wexler is a former recruitment and training manager who started her life and career coaching business, Find Success Achieve Career Coaching, in 2017 to help people find meaningful and fulfilling work. Today, she uses her innate knowledge of the market to help her clients navigate their job search process. Melanie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. I appreciate the conversations we've had leading up to today, and I'm excited to dig into this topic with you. And given all of your experience that you have in the recruiting and now in the coaching industry, I just want to take you back a little bit. And if you would just share with us, what did you want to be growing up?
Well, the first thing that I did not intend to be was a recruiter. So as much as nobody goes to school to become a recruiter, let me preface that. When I was younger, I really wanted to be an attorney or a lawyer, and then also loved the thought of writing and being a writer. But truthfully, I kind of bounced around, you know, and then when I got into college, I was the kid that bounced around, my entire college career. And, And then I, you know, had, I literally took my first recruiting job, literally because I was moving from Missouri to the DC market. And I literally thought I had the, my thought was literally like, oh, I'll just take this job. And if it doesn't work out, then I'll be in the area and I'll find something else. So I would, you know, so I was kind of a late bloomer in terms of figuring out like, what do I want to be? What do I, you know, like that type of thing. But I always love writing. And so now I get to do, so ironically, now I get to do more writing. So on variety of topics. So it kind of maybe came full circle.
It might have. I mean, it's kind of funny how our careers pan out that way kind of thing. I loved your comment how like, well, nobody goes to school to be a recruiter.
Yeah. No, there is like, that is nobody's intent ever. So let me, I will promise you that you will never find that person.
So we heard a little bit about this in the intro, but obviously I want to hear more specifically from you. What do recruiters do, and what's their relationship between the organization and with them, with the client?
So first and foremost, and you've heard me say this, is that the thing to always keep in mind, you know, my mom, God bless her, you know, she used to tell people, oh, she finds people jobs. And I never corrected her because I think, but for my family of educators, like I am the oddball out, literally everyone's educators in my family. It just was the easy explanation. But when I would hire new staff or I would hire, you know, and I was training staff, they, you know, especially younger staff, they'd like, oh my gosh, this person's amazing. I'm going to help them. I'm going to help them find a job. And I always would correct them because at the end of the day, a recruiter, whether it's in the agency spectrum or in-house with a corporation or company, then is to find the best candidate for that hiring manager or for that department. That's their goal. Their goal is not, even though the product or the result is somebody obtaining a job, that's not their goal. Their goal is to find the best candidate because obviously, at the end of the day, as a recruiter, your product is a human being. And, you know, even though some of my clients would forget that sometimes that I didn't have supreme control over them taking their offer or showing up or doing or not just being weird or, you know, whatever circumstance, or even on the flip side, when they would not accept the candidate or would reject the candidate or not show up or act weird. You know, I didn't have any control over that. I mean, because both ends of the deal are a product or a human being. And yeah. So that's the key thing is to remember is that that's the recruiter's ultimate goal, is to find the best candidates for those opportunities.
And when somebody gets that message from somebody, right? So we're talking about an active job seeker, they're in the market, or maybe they're even unhappy in their job and they're thinking, well, maybe I'll stick my toe in the water and see what else is out there. And they get that initial message from the recruiter. What is the typical process that someone would experience while working with a recruiter?
So a typical recruiter is going to want to move very quickly. That's the thing to keep in mind. A typical recruiter, even if their clients aren't moving very quickly, is going to want to be able to, yes, the cat had to make an appearance on me. I have to pray. I was like, I can try to move him without somebody seeing because he jumped up on the desk. So
we both have fur babies. And it's funny how like when they want attention. And we were talking about before that was really funny. Okay.
I'm like over here, if people saw my arm, I'm like, stay right there. And then I'm like, oh, this is getting too hard. Yes. So what is the typical, but yes, to understand that they are going to want to move very quickly. And I find that a lot of people, and particularly mid-career professionals or those or individuals that are more passive, aren't necessarily ready to move that quickly. Recruiters act in the here and the now. So whatever job they have, that in their work, if they're actively recruiting for that job, that is their priority. that is the sole focus of their, that's how their success. And I think that's important to understand. Again, regardless of agency or in-house, that's how you're determined if you're successful as a recruiter, is how quickly you can fill a position, how many candidates can you get lined up, and how, you know, and what are the quality of those candidates? But ultimately, can we get an offer in place and can we keep the process moving? That's what your success is determined. So they will want to move very quickly in the process. And I find that candidates tend to get scared and tend to get, you know, like, even if somebody comes to me and says, yeah, I'm actively looking. And then you go, okay, great. I have an opportunity. I want to talk to you, but, oh, okay. Like, yeah. I gotta think about this. And so I think that's the first and foremost thing, is to understand that recruiters are going to, they respond to what is on their plate right then and there. What can they close quickly? It is very much a sales process. And I think people don't understand that. Yes, I made, you know, I don't make any bones about it. I made commission. I made, you know, I had sales numbers that I had to meet. I had quotas that I had to meet. I was always, up until my last position, I was always on the agency side working with client, you know, clients that would come to us, or I would, you know, they would hire us to work for them. My last position, I was in corporate, and I worked for a corporation in DC that had offices throughout the United States. At the end, which is slightly different from that standpoint, but it is still a sales aspect. You have to move quickly. You're going to go with, sometimes maybe not go with the strongest candidate if that candidate is giving you pushback, because you're going to go with the candidate that is really on board with the process, that you really think you can close.
What would be some of the things you would typically want to hear or see from a candidate who is really demonstrating that they do want to move forward and they're with you on that kind of timeline?
The one thing that I will say is the key for me is always constantly repeating. So in a conversation I may have with a candidate, I literally would repeat, like, this is going to be, I'm a recruiter, and I will preface this, that puts all their eggs out there. I literally just say, here is what this job is. Here's what it's going to pay. Here's the title. Here's who you're going to report to. Here's the process. And especially when it came to salary, I never held back. Now, I know that's not the technique of all recruiters, sure, but the reason I did it, I didn't want to waste my time, because I literally had, you know, multiple positions on any given day of week. And this is even talking through two recessions that I needed to work. So I didn't want to waste, truthfully, I didn't want to waste my time, but I also didn't want to waste the candidate's time. If we're not on the same, I always use a ballpark analogy, but if we're not in the same ballpark, if we're not watching the same baseball game, then there is no point of us having this conversation, because agreed, I'm not going to get you $20,000 more based on what you hope you're going to make. That's just that I know, you know, trust that your recruiter knows who their client is or who the hiring manager is and understands their process. And trust that if those are the numbers that they're giving you, that, you know, or if you start to hear things, well, we could try, you know, to get a salary, but I can't make that guarantee. Really listen. I think that's the thing, is that you have two parties that are talking at each other. My thing, you know, people used to joke with me all the time as a recruiter. Is she on the phone? Is she on the phone? Because I literally would just be on the phone listening. And so nobody would ever know, because I'd always have my headset on and nobody would be like, is she on the phone? Is she talking? What is she doing? She's the quietest person, or I'd be the loudest person. It was either one. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I'd literally be like, yeah, I'm on the phone. Like, I'm listening. Because I feel like in this recruiter candidate relationship, you usually have two people talking at each other, and you have to be willing to listen to really what it, and it's okay to say, hey, this is not the right opportunity for me. For me, you know, I may be disappointed and I may try to push back and understand why, But at the end of the day, I don't also want to waste my time. So that, you know, I think it's important to go into that relationship and just knowing that, you know, I think it's also important from a candidate to understand you still have to be your advocate. Like, you know, the recruiter will be your advocate to some degree, but at the end of the day, you still have to advocate for yourself. You're still going to have to do a stellar interview. You're still going to have to do a lot of the work. You know, recruiters, I always say there's things that I did that were very different than other recruiters. And I tend to say that that's why I was successful and why I could stay in the industry so long. But recruiters typically aren't going to prepare. I mean, they may send you a prep and they may say, hey, answer these questions. But a lot of recruiters, I mean, with my current clients, they don't prepare their candidates for their interviews.
Right.
You know, they don't. And that's a misconception that that's what the recruiter is there for. Do I think they should? I did.
Yeah. Right.
I did. I took the time, even if it wasn't my candidate, we would tag team. So if it was my, you know, colleague's candidate, I would say, okay, let me prep them. You know, if it was my client, I would say, let me prep them. You know, like I will put that on my calendar because it was important for me. So
and it's one of those things where as coaches, we do a lot to support our clients and we focus so much on how we are building relationships with them and doing all of that. And on the recruiting side, as much as your loyalty or allegiance is to the agency or to the company at which you're working and you're trying to find talent for, there still are those elements where, to your point that you said just a few minutes ago about you still have to be your biggest advocate, it really, to me, seems like how could you build that better relationship with the recruiter so even though they're still aligned with the company, they're going to do whatever they can to help you in that whole process, not meaning get you hired, but to help you in that relationship building through the process.
So my best candidates, and understand I have worked everything from short-term temporary jobs, long-term temporary high-level contract opportunities, and full-time six-figure C-level executive permanent positions. So I've seen a vast amount of candidates. My best candidates are ones that I developed a relationship with that understood I may not always be able to take your call. You know, leave me a message or send me an email. I promise you I will get back. Yep. You know, you have to understand how busy of a day I might have, you know, at any given moment. And my priorities were always being thrown. You know, you go in with, I mean, I know that's what everybody says. You go in with one plan and it starts to become another, but that is true for life of a recruiter. You know, that I'm working and to have some understanding that recruiter, you know, really successful recruiters truthfully are working probably, I mean, in my heyday, even with two kids, it wasn't hard. There was days that I mean, one of my positions, I worked nationwide. Mm-hmm. And I'm here on the East Coast. And literally by the time, you know, 5 o'clock rolled around, well, on my West Coast candidates and my West Coast clients were ready to kick into gear. So I was working 14, 15 hour days. I would have, you know, while also managing an office. So I would come in on Saturdays or Sundays to get caught up on that. So understand that, but also just build a relationship and be truthful from the get-go. If these are your intentions, like this is your salary, hey, I'm not going to, and also, and again, I'm big on this. This is my big thing. Listen. So if a recruiter says, hey, your salary is way out of expectations in terms of what the market's holding right now, you may be overpaid and I think that we're going to start seeing this not this year, but I think what's going to happen is people are going to offer a lot of money on the table. And I think next year and the year after, we're going to start seeing a lot of people that have, just like the housing market, that have gotten higher salaries. We saw this back in the early 2000s. before, you know, we saw that market where literally people were getting paid three or four times what the norm was. And it came back, you know, hence the recession.
It
bit a lot of people in the butt. And yeah. then they didn't understand, like, they gave the, you know, I understand we all have lifestyles. We all have bills. I respect that. I honor that. I do too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I want a certain amount of money as well. I have no problem with you wanting a lot of money. I think that's actually great, but be realistic and understand the market. Your recruiters are your best resource to understanding what's happening in the market, but also what is happening with their clients. So if they explain the process of, you know, you're going to have to do this many interviews, don't complain when you're like, because I, you know, I have a client that does not necessarily like all these multi-level interviews. I'm not saying if they're good or bad, and I will have my own opinions on the interview process, but it is what it is. Like, yeah. neither of us are going to change this corporation's interview process. Here it is. And so we need to accept it and we need to embrace it. But I also have a client that kind of pushes back on the recruiters. And I will tell you, that's the worst thing you can do. Make the recruiter your friend. And as you mentioned, make them your, you know, if you can really develop a relationship with them, and it comes with a, and I understand respect is earned, but understand that they also hold, it's kind of, I always used to say, I wouldn't ever hire anybody for my team that wasn't nice to my receptionist and Absolutely, administrative yes. assistant. Uh-huh. She was my right hand, and you were also going to have to work with her, but how you treated her. And I did this when I met, you know, back in the day when I was meeting candidates, is I would want to know, you know, she would come to me and be like, oh, this person is like, you know, this is, because that gave me a good indication of what our relationship was probably going to be like. And also how you were going to behave when you went in an interview, and how that you have to really, you have to be able to take the armor off and say, okay, I may get criticism, and, you know, the things that they're going to tell me are going to help me. And you have to be open to that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And once you start doing that and building that relationship with a recruiter, they're going to push for you. They're going to really push for you, and they will. But also treat a recruiter just like you do. And this is, I just had this thought, and this is like one of my biggest pet peeves. Please treat a recruiter like you would a normal interview. Mm-hmm. Don't share the divorce and the parental issues with the kids, or, you know, what's happening behind the scenes with the kids and all, you know, or your latest breakup or what, you know, treat it like a regular interview. Just treat it like a professional interview. Oftentimes I feel like people don't treat when they're interviewing with a recruiter, they don't take it seriously. They like, oh, here's information, but I'm gonna, and I would always get in these interviews where I'd be like, stop.
Yes.
Stop. I don't want to know. No. Like, I, the less I know in that aspect, the better.
Yeah.
But treat it like you would, you're interviewing for a job. And that's the thing where because that's also an indication of, like, a recruiter will get a red flag. If you start sharing all your personal life and what's happening, they're going to be concerned about sending you to a client.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. That's such a great point in terms of, we have to maintain those professional boundaries. And that recruiter is representing the company in some capacity. So
yeah.
Such a great point that you make there. The other thing too was, you talked a little bit about workload, and I think it's important for us to acknowledge that any recruiter is typically handling dozens of positions at a time
yeah.
in terms of finding talent for those positions. So as you're reaching out and connecting, find that way to keep that previous conversation top of mind. So it helps you help them a little bit. And as we get to see in our work with our clients, again, it just comes back to build that relationship. Build that kind of relationship in that way. Melanie, there was something we talked about pre-show that I want to pull in here a little bit. And that is, so many clients are vaguely or not really familiar with the applicant tracking system. And so I was wondering if you could just pull back the curtain a little bit and tell us how the recruiter is using the applicant tracking system as they're looking for talent.
Definitely. I would love to do that. And also on your last point about the workload of the recruiters, ask your recruiter, and I guarantee you nobody's doing this. Ask your recruiter, what is their preferred method to be contacted?
Oh, such a great point.
And also, when can we schedule a time? Like, how often should I check in? I promise you, you don't need to check in every single day of the week. But you wonder why, you know, then your expectations are on the same page. And so if you know on Fridays, that's probably a day the recruiter is, I mean, truthfully, that was, you know, every so often you get a crazy Friday, but you know, that's kind of like your nice quiet day. And so that would be a good day to catch up. Mondays are, I will promise you, with any recruiter under the sun, Mondays are never a good day to catch up. So don't make that expectation. You know, so have the same expectations, be on the same page, but I promise you, you will shock a recruiter, corporate or agency wise. If you say, how is the best for me? Email was always the easiest because I literally could be on the phone, but I could be responding to an email, you know, or I could see that I got this email and I could start it and I could do some other things while I was on the phone and making calls that I needed to make. So for me, email was always the best, but, you know, and then I would say, let's schedule a call, you know, here's the link to the calendar. Let's get you on my calendar, 'cause we need to talk, you know, that type of thing. So that, I wanted to preface that because that's just something that nobody's going to be doing.
That's a great tip. Absolutely. Yeah.
So in terms
of the ATS, yeah, how would a recruiter be using the applicant tracking system?
So I have trained on I've worked on multiple systems. I've been a trainer for multiple systems. Understand, and this is my biggest pet peeve of what's happening out in the industry. You get all these little memes and stuff like, oh, horrible, the ATS monster, and like it's all this automated, you know, there's no human behind it or whatever. That's not entirely true. An ATS system is literally just a database. That's what it is. It's a holder for all of the resumes. What happens is, I, as a recruiter, will put in a job order or job description. I will highlight keywords, key phrases, things that are absolute must-haves, absolute requirements, the education, the whole nine yards. It gets sent out to, you know, the website, to the LinkedIns, to the Indeeds, wherever. You go in and apply. What happens then is, I receive the resume. So there is this thought that the resumes go this black hole, that they're, you know, they just disappear. That's not true. Every resume stays in this database. I will say there are some systems that have qualifiers. So if you get asked very specific questions, Indeed does this in particular. So if you get asked very specific questions, how many years of experience do you have? Or what is your education? Or, you know, they'll ask very specific questions. They will mark those as like, these qualify and these don't. But again, all of them still exist in the system. What happens, I get an alert, or I go into my system on a daily basis. I see who has recently applied. What happens is, the system does acknowledge, in probably either percentages or like out of five stars, how many of the keywords and qualifications you have. I then will sort those resumes. So I'm always going to start with the top 100%, you know, And because I may get 200 to 500 resumes, depending on the job, then I will, I'm probably not going to look beyond, you know, depending on the number, 70%, let's say. So I'm not going to be contacting the people that fall below that level. What I'm going to do is I'm going to find then the yes pile, and I'm going to reach out to you, and I'm going to, you know, have, and then I'm going to start to narrow down that yes pile to like, here's the, my top tier, because at the end of the day, we got to remember, we're only looking for one person.
Correct.
You know, so when you have like, you know, so you wonder why you don't get contacted. And I would also say people don't pay attention. And I know this is like the simplest trick. Pay attention to the format the system says it accepts. Systems have gotten much better about this from, I always say, like back in my day, which was literally 2016. It's not like
that, not was, that far along, that long ago.
I'm not that old, but back in my day, but the systems have gotten better. But now the systems are typically putting, like, they accept Word doc or PDFs. A lot of people send their format in, and I also want to preface, Google Doc and Word doc are still very different documents. They still have different formats.
Yes, they do.
If you want to make the ATS your friend, please do not send a Google Doc. I understand it's universal and there's amazing things that Google has done in our lives and changed our lives forever, and it's amazing. But pay attention to what that says, because if it says it does not accept a PDF, what happens is if I go to look at your resume, it's garbled. I can't either open it or it's all so messed up. I move on to the next person because I don't have time to talk to,
right.
You know, I'm like, okay, I can't read your resume. I got to go on to the next. You may be the best candidate, but I can't figure that out. So understand that. And then at that point, you're done with the ATS. It's a holder. It's a holder for all, you know, it's an expandable file.
Yep.
Yes, I will honest. I started in recruiting where we were still using fax machines and I was looking for clients in the newspaper. Who was hiring? So yes, a lot has changed in 18 years, but understand it's just a holder.
Right.
You know, there's still a person at the end of it. There's still a person that's conducting the search. And honestly, what I may do in my system, because once you've applied, your resume stays there. If I know already that I have an opening that requires X, Y, and Z, the first place I go is to my database. Now, I want to say don't apply for jobs for the sake of applying. That doesn't make sense. Apply to jobs that you're qualified to apply Correct. For to Yep. begin with. But understand, too, that I may reach out to you and you wonder, like, why are they reaching out to me? Because you've probably applied for a job that's been in their system at some point, and now you're coming up in a search that they're doing.
Yeah, thank you for that. And it's I like the analogy about how it's a holder. And it's a database, and the formatting stuff is so key. And I think anybody who is listening to this podcast is hopefully taking some of these really simple but powerful points away, because you either clear it or you don't. And it's about Yeah. getting it in front of a human being to really take a look. As we start wrapping up here, though, I just have a couple of questions I just want to touch base on, though. And one is that we know that getting feedback in the job search process is extremely difficult, whether they are screened with the recruiter and they don't move on, or they get to the third and the fourth round and they don't get selected. In your view and in your experience, Melanie, what is the best way, if any, for an interested candidate to get some kind of feedback from the recruiter as to why they weren't selected or why they didn't move on?
So there's two things on this. And I literally just had to have this conversation with a client of mine who had gotten to a third level interview. She didn't end up getting the job. And, you know, and she struggled with a couple of interviews. And I really had to have this conversation. I said, you know, we really need to start figuring out what's, because I'm not in there with you. So I can't observe. I wish I could, because
they're the hardest parts of our job.
I know. And it was always as a recruiter too. But at some point we have to start saying, what is happening in the interview that people are not connecting with you? Because I feel like if you're a person that's making it through three levels of interviews, it's not qualifications, because you wouldn't have got, you can probably get through a first level qual with a shaky qualifications. You typically don't get through a second level. But if you're getting to third level and you're not landing the job, there's something that you're saying or doing that's maybe not making the people connect with you. And so that's the toughest conversation I can ever have with a person, even now. I still don't like having them, but the truth is we have to really dig deep and figure out, like, and in my opinion, what I felt like was, because I've known her, I've worked with her, is I think she can come across as being kind of a little bit of a know-it-all. Mm-hmm. And like, she has the answer. She doesn't need to listen to, like, and always take in what somebody says. And she's like, well, anybody that's worked with me will tell you I'm a great collaborator. I'm a perfect teammate. I said, yeah, but they don't know that.
Right. Exactly.
You know, like, they haven't worked with you. So they don't know that, you know? And I was like, I think it's how you're coming across. I said, that's my guess. Now, to the question in particular, first off, ask. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we don't ask. You know, because I think we're scared of getting, you know, because we're already being rejected. So it's like, well, I don't want to know, like, you know, like, it, like, let's add salt to the wound. Let me tell, you know, it's the most important piece of advice you can ever gain. Now, I will be also honest, some recruiters, you will not get feedback. There's oftentimes clients would just be like, yeah, not the right person for us. That to me comes down to our personality match, and there's probably not much any of us can, you know, if you're not the right match, you're not the right match. And you, and again, this is why I say, like, we can't, I know this is, this sounds contradictory. This is not personal. You know, yes, right. I know it feels personal, and I know that there's a lot on the line. There's money on the line. There's, you know, your job security. There's a whole bunch of worries and stress. But it's not personal, and you can't take it personal. Now, if I would always say, always ask the recruiter, what could I have done better? What, always just be asking every single level of interview. Is there any piece of advice or feedback that you can give me, and how to, you know, be successful with interviewing with, you know, John Smith, the CEO, or, you know, whoever you're interviewing with. Always ask for feedback. And then, you know, and that's the thing. Some recruiters don't get the feedback. Believe me, as a recruiter, we want the feedback too, because it helps us determine what does and what doesn't work. But oftentimes, simply put, I would say, oh, you didn't get the right position. And I would honestly be like, let me tell you. And they just, nobody wanted to hear it. So a lot of people just don't want to hear it. Right. And so you have to put yourself in a very vulnerable place. When I was 22, I had a family friend that interviewed me and gave me feedback. And I live with that advice to this day.
It's, I think, any opportunity we have where we can get that kind of feedback to that point and that experience just makes us a much stronger applicant. Yep. And the feedback, I loved your point about just ask. And if you've built that relationship, they're going to try to help you in some way.
Always.
So I thank you for sharing that. So it always amazes. I say this practically every time I interview somebody, the time just seems to fly by.
I don't know where it went.
I know, right?
And, I don't know where it went.
And you add in so many great things to clear up so much today. And I appreciate that. But Melanie, as we wrap up, I always like to ask my guests this. What advice would you give to somebody who's listening, who is currently in the process of navigating toward whatever is next and they're building their mid-career GPS?
Take an assessment, especially mid-career professionals. Take an assessment of where you're at in your life as well as your career, and really determine what is the most important things for you. Because as we grow, we age, You know, for me, I didn't want to be a manager anymore. That was not on my, you know, that was not when I left my last company, that was not a goal. I had been there, done that. I was also mother to two older kids and I didn't need to be a mom to anybody else at the point. It's a whole other issue. You know, definitely take an assessment, because I think oftentimes, especially mid-career professionals, kind of go out there and they're looking for almost the same things, but where you started and where you are today are very different. So I suggest doing quarterly assessments, because our lives change so much financially, health-wise. What is your work-life balance? It's not a thing. It's what works for you. And so take those assessments and be very clear in what you're looking for. Is salary the number one? Family the number, you know, and then start to adjust your career search based on what is important for you. And I think that when you're in tune with those values, then you're going to be, it's the start of being successful in the journey of that process.
Yeah, well said. Thank you so very, very much.
It's
been great getting to know you outside of the podcast.
And yes,
again, just the putting the light on, if you will, this whole recruiting aspect and everything. So I'd love for you to tell the listeners a little bit about your business, Find Success Achieve, and where people can follow and connect with you.
Yeah. So I actually have a new website coming out. It's not live yet, so I'm going to hold off on that, because my website guy he's ready to kill me anyways, but
I'll make sure we update it in the show notes. Yes, so you just let me know when.
It'll be live at the end of this week. It's just, we're making some final changes, so I don't want to give that out yet. But the easiest and best way is connect with me on LinkedIn, Melanie Mitchell Wexler. Please put in a note of how, if you heard me on this podcast, you know, so that I have a point of reference. I just always appreciate that. And that's usually the best way. You can also connect with me, of course, on Facebook. I'm M. Wexler, Career Coach on Instagram. But LinkedIn is usually where you're going to find me a ton and probably the easiest place to connect with me. And yes, I would love to hear from you.
Great. Well, I hope, I wish you the best. I hope
you
have a great rest of wherever we're at in terms of the summer and everything. And obviously the fall is going to be a huge push. We always kind of see that huge push after Labor Day as things kind of, it's hard to believe, kind of like already starting to think about winding down 2021, which is just crazy in and of itself.
Not quite there yet.
So. Not there yet, but you know, it's like soon before you know it. But Melanie, thank you so very, very much for spending some time with me and everybody today and just letting us in on this whole world about recruiting and how we can navigate it a whole lot better. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. All right, everyone. I wish you a great rest of the day. Remember, we keep building our mid-career GPS 1 mile or 1 step at a time. And remember, how we show up matters. Make it a great rest of the day. If you enjoyed today's show and don't want to miss an episode, follow on Apple Podcasts or wherever you usually listen. And I'd appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review. Visit johnnarrell.com to download your free copy of the 55-minute Career Transition Jumpstart to help you start building your mid-career GPS. And don't forget to connect with me on LinkedIn and follow me on social @JohnNarrell Coaching. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next time.